CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The three gentlemen with me in the Gannon Room on the third deck of the Army-Navy Club in Washington, D.C. at Farragut Square, here in the 21st century, are helping me imagine a scenario that is a catastrophe. The Chinese, the PRC's invasion and conquest of Taiwan, removing any guarantee we have that democracy can stand up against the Chinese aggressors. However, we have allies, as the Admiral pointed all of us to earlier remark. And Admiral, I start with you, AUKUS, Australia, United Kingdom, and the United States. I understand that it turns on the construction of nuclear-powered submarines sometime over these next years. I understand it also means that the U.S. and the United Kingdom will cover that in-between transition. But these allies, are they adequate? Do we need to add more? What about Japan? There are all these questions that come up. How do you think about this, Admiral?
I think that the steps that some of our allies have taken have been heroic and extraordinary, particularly the Japanese Maritime Self-Defense Force. There was a time we couldn't even bring a nuclear-powered submarine into any proximity of the soil of Japan. And now we have one home ported in Yokosuka. But with that said, they have invested heavily. They've got 8 Aegis ships. I believe they're looking to buy 2 more. That's immensely helpful. And the good news about Aegis, particularly with their proximity, they can operate alongside the pier and still, you know, help, you know, do something constructive, at least in terms of tracking air targets and things like that. And I guess where Australia is going and this AUKUS consortia is pretty important. And I think it's important to instantiate some business rules, because whether the Australians were able to buy 12 diesel electric boats from France or whether they buy 6 from the U.S. UK in a consolidation, they're not going to even be deployed until 2031, 2032. So, you know, what are we saying? You know, they need to get under contract and they need to be turning metal and bending steel and that. So, because right now it's ambitious, but it's not something you can put your arms around yet.
Bridge, this is the larger story of allies denying the Chinese confidence in the Indian Ocean. Does that help Taiwan?
Not really. We have to win in the primary theater. As Churchill said, if you win in the decisive theater, you can put everything right elsewhere afterwards. But if we lose in the primary theater, they will be dominant in the Indian Ocean everywhere else eventually as well. And the primary theater for us is the Western Pacific. That's where most of Asia's wealth is. And so if we get distracted in the Indian Ocean and the Persian Gulf and Europe, we very seriously risk loss in the Western Pacific. So I think we've really got to focus in on the near battle.
So AUKUS is not the story that answers China's threat.
AUKUS does not answer the urgency near-term threat. It's a positive step in the sense that we need to go over for the long term as well, but we need to address the short term. And that's where our allies, particularly the Japanese and the Taiwanese, need to really step up immediately.
Jerry, how do you imagine putting together the allies in a fashion to avoid the catastrophe before it begins?
Well, first of all, I think just the fact that you have the alliance, that you have these partnerships, and we are seen to be operating and sharing information together. This is something, you know, China believes that we're containing them. That's not necessarily what we're doing. We're simply working to uphold the interests amongst all of them. And to the degree that China is opposed to those interests, well, that's kind of on them. But I would gently push back on something that Bridge just said, which is that Australia isn't really about the submarines that will not get here until 2031, 2032. It's also about that base and port infrastructure that will be there to support nuclear submarines. Those could be U.S. submarines, those could be British submarines, they can be Australians eventually. And one of the key challenges we will have in the South China Sea or within the First Island Chain is when our submarines and those of our allies empty their magazines, their torpedoes are gone, their missiles are gone in those first opening days, where do they have to go to resupply and reload? Well, I'm here to tell you, Guam's a long way. Pearl Harbor is even further. It's not as far to go down to the northern coast of Australia or to go to Japan and take on those stores. So to the degree that we invest in the infrastructure with our allies that allow us to logistically to build what we call the Iron Mountain of where I'm going to have a lot of stores, a lot of bombs, bullets, and beans to be able to put back onto my boats and send them back to sea, that really changes the calculus of how this war is executed.
Gentlemen, we have just a few minutes left, so I want to give each of you an opportunity to imagine what you worry about most when it comes to the defense of Taiwan. Admiral, I start with you. What is your What is the nightmare that hasn't been answered?
I am of the belief that where China has invested in artificial intelligence, machine learning, just as I said before, what if scenario generation, they can play four-dimension chess with us right now. They know a lot of our secrets. They steal a lot of our intellectual property. We really have not done a sufficient job at all in defending that, and I believe that, you know, they are in our heads, and we need to fix that. We need to invest in equal technology, or it's at our peril.
Does the Navy follow your reasoning now, from what you can see?
I'm certain that it does, and I'll tell you why. And we have established the United States 10th Fleet about 10 years ago, and what the metaphor for the 10th Fleet was, when we were doing lend-lease and escorting ships and things of that nature in World War II, we established a 10th Fleet. And so to that end, the 10th Fleet is directed around cyber. And one thing I would look to for our DOD, we just established a Space Command. We need to establish a joint service cyber command that aggregates all of the capabilities of all the services so they can share data and budgets and things like that.
Jerry, what are your nightmares on the Taiwan defense?
My nightmare is Taiwan doesn't hold out long enough for us to get there. So whether I have enough resources immediately available to be able to help them immediately, that's a big question based upon how much I've got in Japan and the Western Pacific, and then whether I can fight my way in before they're overwhelmed. So that's my big challenge. That's why I heavily, you know, promote Bridge's book, because it really is about Taiwan's investment. So I'll turn it over to Bridge, but that's my biggest fear.
Right now, does the Navy know this, what you just said? Does the Navy know Taiwan is not prepared?
Yes.
And do they communicate that if we're going to open up relations? And there has been reason to believe that the Biden administration, as the Trump administration, is making signs that outrage Beijing, but are certainly strength. Does that mean that we're telling them you're not ready?
Absolutely. I think we're having that ongoing conversation with them.
Good. Bridge, we've got a minute. What's your nightmare? You've written the defense. What's your nightmare that won't happen?
My nightmare, Jerry said it well, but my nightmare is that I think it might actually make sense given their objectives for Beijing to pull the lanyard, to pull the trigger. And that's what scares me. I mean, I just look at the next few years. They've got the will, clearly. They've increasingly got a way, very plausibly, and there may be a window of opportunity for them. And when you put that together, I just am very, very worried. I'm really worried. And what to Jerry's point, I'm flabbergasted that the Taiwanese aren't doing more to protect their freedom. They need to do it right now if they want to survive as a free people.
The book is The Strategy of Denial, American Defense in an Age of Great Power Conflict. There is a catastrophe in this book, several versions, and we've talked about one of them. What is to be done? We didn't expand the war, but it might. It might very quickly, especially if the Chinese moved against Guam. I thank Rear Admiral, retired U.S. Navy, Edward Sonny Masso, Executive Director of the Naval Historical Foundation. I thank Captain Jerry Hendricks, United States Navy, retired, author of To Provide and Maintain a Navy. And I thank Bridge Colby of the Marathon Initiative. This is CBS Eye on the World. In the Gannon Room of the Army-Navy Club, Farragut Square, Washington, D.C., I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.